How about it, man? We've got we got a little bit of time left, so everybody's still paying attention. But what a daggum game! I mean, you talk about a game, and it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Like there could be.
I mean, they took a timeout to keep a few seconds.
But how about right there in the moment, that Jeter kid, man? Like, how about this kicker who we talked about, Brent, like being one of the big weaknesses? 6 for 12 in the regular season, 7 for 8 in the postseason. Like. And just made a kick to go for a chance to go to the whole thing, the whole, make yourself go to the whole big deal, the big game, the championship game. He comes up clutch. Dude, just a crazy back and forth game. I mean, a 10-0 run to start for Penn State, a 17-0 run for Notre Dame, a 14-0 run for Penn State, and then Notre Dame ends on a 10-0 run. Like, it's just back and forth, up and down. Two good teams, two evenly matched teams slugging it out, and really, really good football game.
That's it's just a phenomenal game, an absolutely phenomenal game, and there's still 8 seconds left. But what was funny, though, you're talking about Jeter and the – you know, he had a groin injury earlier. So that, you know, Notre Dame fans like to point to that issue, but it was still, you know, still missing kicks. But then on the preview show, we talked about
the difference.
Him being a big deal. And you made the baseball reference with his last name being Jeter and being clutch. It doesn't get more clutch than that right there. That was, and of course, I guess the luck of the Irish in a way is 2 weeks in a row opposing coaches deciding to be aggressive with less than a minute to go. Well, in
Penn
a half
State's
for a game.
Was I. By the way, I think it was the exact same amount of time. I'm serious. I think it was because Georgia. I think it was I. No, it was 38
something seconds, I think.
It was 38.
Georgia was 33.
So less than 40 seconds in both games.
Really close.
It was an interesting decision. Greg McElroy is talking on the broadcast, and he literally, and my son's sitting there next to me, and he goes, you know, he made the stat. He goes, Drew Aller has 50 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I trust him in this moment. And I literally looked at Nicholas and I go, I don't. And I say that because he was bad all game, man. Like, he struggled all game long.
Off.
The only thing they really
accuracy
got going, the run game was great. The screen game kept him in it. The manufactured plays. By the way, Colton Ecky, they got a star, man. Like, they got a star. He's a great OC, Brent. Like, Brent, this is how many passes wide receivers caught in the game. Zero. Penn State did not have a wide receiver make a catch. Like, zero the whole game. So it shows you haven't made a play out wide. You haven't won out wide. And then you trust a guy to win out wide in a situation with less than a minute left. And you make the critical. Yeah, and you make the critical mistake. Listen, Penn State was winning the turnover battle 2-0. They were doing to the Irish what the Irish did to Georgia. And the fatal mistake, man, Drew Aller trusting him, looking back to the across the field late, throwing that football, bad decision, really bad decision, and it cost him the game in a big I feel terrible for the kid, but it cost him the game.
It did, but what also cost him the game to me was Notre Dame's absolutely amazing effort. Because there was a point in this game when it got 10-0, I'm sitting there thinking this might be ball game because Notre Dame looked out of gas. They were missing a lot of tackles early and even into the later part of that second half or second quarter. And you're like, do they have any sort of offense? Can they find any sort of offense? And then they get the backup QB who comes in and does
he went 6 for 7
some Rudy, Steve Angeli. 6 for 7 for 44. They get a field goal before the half. And the other thing I think that's a big deal here tonight, the amount of time that halftime is for these games, I think allowed them to catch their breath, really refocus, because they instantly come out in the second half and start running some same side counter, same side power to counteract what Penn State was doing defensively, got the running game going, hit the Sluggo, the slant and go, King. And the big linebacker with the running back, they and then attacked, all of a sudden it's a game. And now it's a game the rest of the 40, second half. Energy, they attacked momentum, all
of coverage.
It.
They did a good job of finding him. He's a big 245, 250-pound hammer for Penn State, and they did a good job ISOing him on tight ends, ISOing him on Williams, the running back, who, yeah, runs this slant and go. Here's another thing, Brent, that I wrote down the questions, you know, going into the game, and can Riley Leonard win from the pocket? That was one of our big questions. He made some big plays, man. He made some big plays from the pocket, you know, to Williams, which was really good. I thought, dude, Greathouse was fantastic. Like, he doubled his, and he took it to the house. he doubled his production in this game than he did for the season for any game, and just showed up, made the slot fade catch when he was getting hit. But Riley Leonard, you know, running the football, throwing the football, scrambling. Yes, he made the mistake. And I don't know if he got I think he got fooled, by the way, on the Sutton pick. I think he looked right, and he saw the corner off, and you don't assume a defensive end is going to get back in that window. I just don't think he saw him. I think that was a really good play call by Penn State, and he was trying not to throw into the corner that had dropped deep.
That was some DP levels.
That was pretty nice, wasn't it? The big fella, 6'5", going up and getting it.
6'5", stretching out, catching that ball.
But Penn State's defense, you know, really, really good to start. Abdul Carter was the best player on the field, like 11. And he made himself some money tonight. A lot of times you don't play to protect yourself. Brent, if you watched him rush the passer, he didn't use his shoulder. He didn't use his hurt shoulder at all. He was using the other one because his team needed him. He spied more than he usually does. Made plays all over the field. Penn State's defense was really good in spurts. But you're right, man. That second half, first drive, like Notre Dame came out and just 7 of 8. They had 15 yards rushing in the first half total. They had 44 on that drive. And Notre Dame was like, let's not get this twisted. Like, let's get back to the reason we are here. We got to pound the football. They started pounding the rock. Love, who is so good, man, even with the knee brace, like, give him the football. I kept saying, like, why isn't he getting more touches? Like, he needs to touch the football. That was the best 3-yard run of the football season, too, by the way, when he hurdled and broke tackles and stretched.
With the hurdle, which, by the way, the hurdle, and Carson was sitting beside me, pointed this out. He jumps off the left leg and then stretches out, does the hurdle, and then lands on that left leg, which is the non-hurt leg, the one without the brace. That was, it was insane.
But that drive, man, really, you know, Notre Dame getting 3, getting 7, calming them down, you know, and so they could get back to their style.
Completely changed the energy of the game.
They're not a style stylistically, they're not going to drop. If they get a drop back passing game against Penn State and their pressure, it's not a good matchup. That's not how they win. Like, they don't want to win that way. But Notre Dame got to stay in it by putting that drive together, getting 3. Kudos to Angeli for that drive and getting the ball out and making plays, because they had already lost Knapp, their left tackle. And remember, in camp, they lost their left tackle. So, like, injuries piling up like crazy. Yep. Riley Leonard had to go out. Like, they just and Notre Dame, man, just – and that – honestly, Brent, when I said that I thought they could do this and they could win a national title – you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, whenever it was, it's because of the edge they play with. Like, they play like they literally, like, there's only one biscuit and they're trying to get to it before everybody else is. Like, they ain't ate in a while. They play like, there's two reasons to eat off the floor.
Yeah.
There's two reasons to eat off the floor, Brent. One, the floor is clean as can be. Or two, you're so dang hungry, you don't give a rat's ace. And that's how Notre Dame plays. And I thought the outside zone plays, they did a good job with their backers. They played downhill in the second half. Like, downhill and smacked in the mouth.
Very much
didn't give that chance to stretch and continue to go out wide. They took it away right now, man. That was a great football game. And Penn State, you know, they did a great job. They did a great job competing. They did a great job being physical, running the football. It was just, I hate someone has to lose. That was a great game.
It was. And when you look at how Penn State won and how they were successful early in the game, lot of that wide zone that Notre Dame, you think about defensive line that's moving consistently. How do you do that? Well, let them move and just let them go where they want to go. You take them where they want to go. You cut off of it. Penn State was doing that, forcing missed tackles. Allen was a beast. Singleton was running hard, but also misdirection. Like, and when you talked about no receiver catches, all of that, like, that was all of Aller's even successful passing plays were generated through the call, not necessarily through him making a throw or him making a play.
But and, to your point right there, Brent, what deserves to be pointed out, every single big game for years, I've been covering this game, and on game day, we always talked about it. Penn State in a big game. What could they not do, Brent? They couldn't run the football. They couldn't run the football, and they couldn't be physical at the point of attack with their offensive line. Dude, what they found with that zone play is they're cutting people off. And I don't know if you saw that one touchdown run to the left. Their right tackle cuts off Cross, one of their best defensive players for Notre Dame. He cuts off a three technique. That's an elite job. Like, that's a really good job. Another thing, we saw Notre Dame get to Gunnar Stockton quickly. Dude, there was one play, like two plays where Aller was pressured. Like, the protection was really, really good up front for Penn State. And then listen, Koltunecki deserves a lot of credit for the way, you know, he crafts things and gets the ball out. But I thought in drop back passing situations, they held up more than their own. Their offensive line played physical. Like, that's what you've wanted to see from Penn State for a long time. Like, I've wanted to see that kind of physicality up front. Both backs carried the football, you know, with a purpose and really physical. And so that was good to see from Penn State in a big game.
And if you said, hey, before the game, which QB would you trust more in the biggest of moments with this game? You said Riley Leonard, and you were right. Because our misthrow, like the first drive of the game, that's a touchdown on the little swing route to the back, and they only get three. Because that's just a wide-open throw that he missed. And it's one where he's probably like, yeah, I think I'm – he had a game here and then maybe another game to show that he could be a first-round type guy. But, yeah, going back to school.
Yeah, and he's going to go back. And, listen, nowadays it's really good because you get paid a lot of money. So he showed improvement this year. So I think second year with Koltunecki next year – you know, listen, no Ty Warren is a big deal, and they're going to have to get in the portal and find some receivers to win out wide and make some big plays in this offense. But I thought he grew, and I thought he got better and improved. So it's a natural progression usually, right? You continue to climb up that mountain with experience because he's getting more and more experience and getting better. And then hopefully you can put the ball in his hands and really, really trust him. But you know, good game, but how about Notre Dame? I think now that's 9 ranked opponents in a row that they've beaten. And I don't think they're more talented than every team they've played. I think they're more, Coach Freeman is just a stud. Well, and I want to say Morgan every time, by the way, but Marcus Freeman, the energy, the youth, just does a great job. And you can tell the kids feed off of his energy and his passion, and they play hard. And Notre Dame, because they're not the second most talented team in the country. They're not. But they know exactly who they are. They win the turnover margin most of the time. They didn't tonight, but their quarterback knows who they are. They run the football. They're physical on both sides of the ball. Like, they know exactly who they are and what they want to do, and they've executed it great. And the Irish are playing for a freaking national title. Like, a lot of people didn't think that before the season.
I would say that was probably not on a lot of the picks. I bet a lot of people picked Notre Dame to be in the playoff, but in terms of being in the championship game, no, not so much. But like you said, it's Freeman, it's the culture, it's all that. Like, you look, I saw Rivals tweet out some of the recruiting rankings of the rosters and things like that. There's one that was way different than the other three, and that was Notre Dame's, but it didn't matter. And the biggest thing for me was just injury after injury. And usually you get to a point, a tipping point, and it just, the dam breaks. And it just didn't for them. And their offensive line held up. Now, some might say that they did a lot of holding all night long, and there were certain times where Carter, I thought, should have got some holding penalties.
First of all, offensive linemen cheat on every play.
Still yet.
That's what they do.
They always did. It's everybody both ways.
No.
Which, by the way, did you notice that it was the same officiating crew that did the Sugar Bowl?
I would not notice something like that. I'm pretty observant. I do not pay attention to the refs, Brent, at all.
Same crew. I just thought that was interesting. But like, we've had 9 playoff games now. This is the 9th. 4 and then 4 and then this is the 9th. Every favorite's won.
Wow.
Like Notre Dame was the favorite. And every favorite has now won the game. The over hit.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that. I was shocked that we got into the upper 20s. But by the way, you just said it. They're playing for a national championship. Who do they want to play?
They want to play Texas.
Who's a better matchup?
They absolutely want to play Texas. There's no doubt who they're cheering for tomorrow night when they see that game.
I agree. Because if you – all right, so let's – we'll spin it ahead and let you guess the lines tonight instead of tomorrow night. Since
we
know who one of them is. I've got one site.
But it has both. Notre Dame versus Texas, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. Okay. Notre Dame versus Texas would be it's in Atlanta, so that doesn't matter. Texas minus 2.5. Exactly.
Ding.
Let's go.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
That's
at least
never
according to
again.
The site that I'm looking at.
And then Ohio State minus, oof. It's at least a touchdown. I'm 100% sure of that. Well, what's Ohio State over Texas? 7?
I feel like that's cheating in terms of way, but
I'm
I think
using
it's 5.5.
My brain, so 12.5.
5.5, I think. I know.
12.5.
You're being competitive right now. I know that. Wait a second. Why would you do that?
Like, who are you talking to?
What I see here is Ohio State 8.5. Well, 5.5 and 2. If I said 5.5, 2.5, that's 8.
Well, see, like, I tried to do that, but I added 7 and I don't know what else. But yeah, I mean, obviously that will be that'll be a.
I mean, it's probably going to be 10 if it's Ohio State, I would bet, eventually. But just amazing season thus far, even for Notre Dame. And they still get another shot. I was – especially at 10-0 because Penn State was just – it looked like they didn't even need to throw the ball the rest
of the drives.
They were just pounding.
The first play was a 14-play drive. They got a field goal, which a better throw, they get a touchdown. A better throw to the running back or a really good catch, they absolutely – get a touchdown, big one for Penn State, come back to bite them. And then a 15-play drive that was a touchdown drive where they had 10 straight runs. And we've talked about this, Brent, where we thought Koltunecki sometimes will get, you know, a little bit cute. And he's good. He's freaking good. Let me be very clear. Like that dude, you talk about off-season acquisitions, he's one of the best in the country, period. We can talk about transfer portal. That the coaching portal was a huge plus for Penn State. But I thought they were pounding the football. They were running the jet read, Brent, and getting the ball out wide. A lot of people, when they go in motion or they bring the back across like that, they flip it. And it's a pass. So if it's dropped, it's incomplete. But Penn State doesn't do that. Penn State sticks it out there so Aller can pull it and run downhill with his big body, and it stretches the defense wide and downhill. So they were getting to the edges at will. You're right. Notre Dame missing tackles. Allen and Singleton. I mean, we've talked about them. The only backs in the country that were over 1,000 yards. 2 of them. I mean, both backs. Just run physical, run hard, you know, made plays. Warren did his thing too. Like Warren, god dang. I mean, that dude,
every play that they don't give him the ball almost feels
I'm
like
I'm going to miss him.
a loss.
Like, I'm going to miss that dude. And Penn State.
No, you're not, because you're going to pick him on your fantasy point. Team.
Penn State's going to miss him, because here's the thing, man. He's very much like Bowers. Like, if you want to treat him as a tight end, okay, so be it. Then I got a favorable matchup. So if it's a tight end, then you're going to bring an extra linebacker in the game to play the run. Okay, linebacker can't cover him. You know, safeties have a hard enough time covering him. You want to treat him as a wide receiver? Okay, I put him closer to the box and I block him on a DB. You lose, right? Like, you saw so much of that with Brock Bowers during his career, and especially the most successful, I think, when he was with Darnell Washington, because Darnell was that big, you know, huge guy that could push people. And, you know, yes, it was a great match, those two together. They complement each other's skill sets. But Warren will be a big loss. But the Penn State supporting cast, you know, the two running backs and the tight end, Warren, Allen Singleton and Warren, they carried their weight. They played a really good football team, really good football game. And Colt Konecki did a great job.
Did you think that was PI?
Okay, so Notre Dame had two picks that were nullified. The first one they called defensive holding. Absolutely defensive holding. There is no debating. You saw the tug of the jersey. The second one they called PI. It was triple coverage. It was a horrible throw by Aller. It shouldn't have been thrown. The guys weren't even in the play. That's where I say, to me, that's a no call. Now, the guy who called it should have called pass interference, but it's the other guys in the middle of the field that's watching the play going, that ball's underthrown by 5 or 6 yards, and he made the pick. So that should not be PI, because it's not catchable. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think they should have worked together. I don't think it should have been called, because it was that badly underthrown, and it was a good play. It was PI, but it was not involved in the play.
And that's what's hard, and what, when you look at what's sort of undefeated as a play, underthrown deep balls, because they get so many PI calls. I hate that the offense. I mean, even as an offensive guy, I don't like the offense getting rewarded for a QB throwing a crappy pass.
You know, interesting, because you're an offensive guy.
Throw a better ball, and the thing is, man, make it interesting.
Do you know how hard it is to cover a freak show, a fast guy, and I'm chasing him, and I'm doing everything I can to keep up, and then all of a sudden he sticks his foot in the ground and he comes back to me when I'm running towards him. The only way to not get a PI is to turn your head really quickly, and so it's a hard deal. Like, the underthrown ball is the hardest ball to cover. Like, the back shoulder is a tough play to throw. We talk about all the time, because that's an underthrown ball, basically, that I get to react to. And so I thought the coverage – do we say coverage, or do we say lack of playmakers on both sides kind of presented themselves, minus Greathouse.
Greathouse, I mean, that is the only one.
And Mitchell made some plays, and he was clearly their guy to start the game. Like – I think the first five passes, Brent, or four passes for Notre Dame went straight to Mitchell Evans. And so that was a clear, you know, if you're going to play man to man, and again, King, whoever, you know, Mitchell Evans gets matched up with, is a win for Notre Dame. And, but Penn State's coverage, you know, was pretty sticky, was pretty good, but it did come down to golly. The mistakes. I mean, the mistake late. God, and I know people are going to go big game, James Franklin. I don't know what his record is, Brent, but it's really bad against top 15. Somebody, I want to say it's like chat, one in something.
One in fifth in the chat says 1-15 against top five
and
opponents.
That's obviously tough. Listen,
that's ungood.
He replaced OC and DC this year, right? Because Manny Diaz left to go to Duke, and so he hired Tom Allen to run his defense. So he's hired some good coaches, man. The defense played good in spurts, but that's a lot of points to give up to a Notre Dame offense, and too many big plays to a Notre Dame offense that hasn't lived off of big plays. They really live off of the ground game and pound of the football.
Very underrated two-play sequence for Notre Dame It wasn't a drive that led to points, but it was the drive before the interception. They get a second and 14 because of a sack, or I think it was a sack, but it was second and 14. They're up against their goal line, and Leonard throws a strike. I think it was to Greathouse on an outcut.
Manageable.
Gets it to third and three, and then Leonard scrambles, going to run, and then all of a sudden, little jump pass for the first down. Kept that drive going versus just giving it right back to Penn State and giving them better field position to potentially come down and kick a game-winning field goal. So that led to the punt, then which led to the interception. So two big plays there that just you don't think about, but matters in a field position game like this.
Riley Leonard is that dude. I mean, he is. And listen, he made some mistakes. He got pressured too, but like I think that but Abdul Carter. The freak show mutant also making you step up, and there wasn't much of a pocket a lot of times. But listen, you put an average athlete and an average quarterback in that system, and they're struggling. You got him again. You get to run the guard running back, you know, counter. You get to run QB ISO. You get to run QB power, dude. By the way, third and short, and fourth and the goal to go situations. It's almost automatic for Notre Dame. Like they're so good in the center of guard situation.
Success rate.
And he's going to pick a spot, and he keeps his shoulder squared, and he runs downhill, and he makes the play that needs to be made. And we just haven't seen him do it through the air. And tonight, when they needed it, big time moments, he delivered. And even the rollout late to get him in field goal range, rolls out across his body to the left and throws a good pass, and I think Greathouse again catches the ball and gets more yards after the catch, and you know, just timely big plays.
You can't say enough to me about, and this is just as a fan of football, watching Notre Dame play. They play every one of them, offense, defense, especially defensively, the aggressiveness, the man-to-man things that they do. They just said, hey, no matter what, we're going to be aggressive downhill all the time. I mean, Love on the touchdown, that was an effort and heart touchdown. I think totally where he breaks, I don't know how many tackles, and then the stretch for the touchdown. I thoroughly enjoy watching how they play as much as the play itself. And
another thing I wrote down is, can you get these backs on the ground? Because the yards after contact, Notre Dame averages 4 yards after contact, best in the country. And you saw that with Love. I thought Love really set the tone too in the second half because he came out, he got the ball, and he got a couple of 10-yard carries like that. Yeah, and they North ran south. Downhill. I liked Notre Dame's approach, period, because they came out five wide, and they really spread, you know, Penn State out to run the football. And shoot, they went quads one time where they actually motioned to, I don't even know what you call fives. What do you call fives? Because they had five people on one side, but they motioned them back in, but to get to what they wanted to get to. But
Big picture.
Denbrock
program
was also an elite hire, which is kind of interesting, by the way, because they steal him away from Brian Kelly, who gave Marcus Freeman the job. And then Denbrock comes back, and he's elite. He's a really good offensive mind, offensive coordinator. And I think he does an unbelievable job of mixing in the short game. He couldn't protect Leonard, his left tackle. We talked about out of the game, he rolled the pocket a little bit more, right? Like ran the football, like you talked about, same side, which kind of takes your cheating away on the defense. Like really did a good job, mixed in some tempo. I thought he mixed in some tempo great, and gave the ball to, you know, Love, gave the ball to Leonard, gave the ball to his better players, Mitchell Evans. And then of course he knew Greathouse was going to break it out, but and have a great game. But what were you saying? Big picture.
The segue. I would say the segue though, from Kelly, were you talking about Kelly Denbrock coming from LSU? Brian Kelly went to LSU because he thought, oh, I need to go here because I can't get to this point, to this spot with Notre Dame.
And hold my beer.
Marcus Freeman says, hold my drink.
I mean, I guarantee you Notre Dame fans, they just have to love that. Like Brian Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to go play in a big game with equal talent or better talent. I keep getting knocked out. Marcus Freeman with less talent, I would argue, than the teams he is playing, walks in and says, "Hold my beer." I mean, it's pretty incredible.
I actually bet like a Notre Dame fan would probably see Brian Kelly and just go give him a big hug. Thank you so much for leaving. Thank you. We really appreciate you leaving. You were great.
And Brian Kelly's a great coach, but I think Marcus Freeman is quickly making everybody forget about him. And again, he's a relational coach, man. Like, Brent, if you spent some time with him, you'd love him. He's a linebacker. Like, he's going to look you in the eyes. Like, I believe his family's military. Like, he just he's got something to him, man, that you can just – like, you can tell why he's going to recruit well, and you can tell Notre Dame is in great hands. And look at this game, too. Again, we talked about this last round a little bit, but you have to play the portal game, whether you like it or not. Like, you are not going to sign people from the portal and be successful. We've seen that with Dabo. Like, it's a hard life. Marcus Freeman, your kicker who just came up clutch, came from South Carolina, Jeter. Marcus Freeman, your quarterback, who's your best player, like your most valuable player, excuse me, to your roster, you picked away, obviously, from Duke. You needed a guy that you could trust to come in and run the show. And Denbrock, you know, identified him as his guy, obviously, and that's the dude he needed, and you go and get it done. So nice job blending the portal with high school recruiting, with developing, and with just creating an edge, creating these kids, like, we have to do every little thing we can do. We're not good enough not to play hard and not to be physical and not to be tough.
Speaking of creating an edge, they made one hire this offseason. I think it was right around July-ish. And that hire ended up getting very plastered during the Sugar Bowl coverage after the game because of the whole time management. They saw Freeman turn around and look into the guy on the sideline with him. Former PFF employee and analyst, Anthony Tresh. So they like, and if you ask a Notre Dame fan, hey, our coach has been way more aggressive on fourth down this year. We've done, you know, the sort of the time management clock stuff, all that. He's now the former PFF employee, now director of analytics.
So are you giving PFF all the credit for that
victory?
Okay. Cause Brent, no, I don't know if y'all know this, Brent works himself. For like PFF and rivals and.
Yeah, I'm a part-timer for them. Look for them for a long time. But by the way, Marcus Freeman, also potential. There you go. See, director of analytics.
He's a man, Wes.
Yeah, good job. Gets to potentially play against the team that he put on the uni for in college. Like, he was in Ohio State.
Dang.
Really good
you
player.
You heard that, Texas. I don't even know why you're showing up. Brent says it's already putting Ohio State in the national.
I said potentially. I said the word potentially in there. I didn't say definitively. Did both pick Ohio State, but still.
What? Let's see.
Oh, you had a 3-point spread, by the way. I had the 2 points, so you win in terms of point spread of pick.
Yeah, I had 23-20. What'd you have? Look at that. That is Marcus Freeman in uniform, by the way. That is fantastic. He's fitter now than he was then.
I had the exact thought that I had. I mean, these guys who stop playing, like, you know, you get lean, right?
Most people usually get fat. Most people usually stop doing the good lifting and don't, you know, listen, I went through a phase where I didn't want to be told what to do. Like, I didn't want to be told I had to go do this. I had to do that. So I wanted a little bit of break from it, but that quickly faded. But, hey, we got anything in the chat worth? We got a thing in the chat.
One last thing.
Talking about?
Well, one thing is the timing element that was brought up is like they weathered the storm. Because I was sitting there thinking at 10-0 and Penn State just physically dominating the game, that was actually going to be the story. That Notre Dame had to play 7 days. You know, Penn State had 2 extra days of rest. Notre Dame had to play 7 days later, and they completely flipped the script.
Well, I mean, so that's what hard rocks do. Like, listen. An extra day, an extra 2 days, that's an excuse. Like, we can talk about all we want. Like, that's, that's not what decides football games. What decides football games for Notre Dame, what they've done a great job is not making mistakes. I think they were down because they made mistakes. You don't usually see them do that. And they did in the first half. Now, they struggled to tackle too, but they've lived off.
Caleb Big on third down. Penn State was only 3 of 11 on third down.
Probably, three. He had it.
They were. Yeah, but Riley had at least 3 to 5
just himself just falling forward. Notre Dame players are flat out playmakers. Is that the one you just highlighted?
I didn't point that out.
Yes, here's the thing. They're really not. And this is not an insult. Like, John, I'm not insulting your squad. I'm not insulting Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a great team. Like, they've got a bunch of guys that can step. And now Greathouse stepped up and had a great game. He hasn't done that all season to that level. Obviously, Mitchell Evans is a really good tight end. He's not Ty Warren. The backs have been great. They were pretty average so far the last couple games, but they just find a way to win. And that's a compliment. That is not an insult. That is not an insult to Notre Dame. It's more of a compliment because their best defensive player, I think, got hurt, and he's not even playing, and they're still finding a way with less talent to get it done, to make plays, to win. That says more about Marcus Freeman. That says more about this team and their fight.
This
is a weird year, man. And we talk about, like, the more we talk about spreading talent out with NIL and transfer portal, you know what else? It makes everybody thinner. You better be tougher. And guess what we're seeing more of? Run game, defense. Like, you're seeing less. You're not going to get as much tempo with less depth and more games. Like,
and coaching is going to matter more and more. Like, it just does. And when the games get closer and tighter and you have the talent sort of flattening out. You mentioned Mills being out. I'm assuming that's who you were talking about. Best player not being there. Is that what you, Riley Mills? The guy that's played for him, did you see his face mask? Like old school, one bar coming down. It looked like 90. I thought Golic's number was 97 in college. Maybe it wasn't, but it looked very – okay. It looked very Golic-esque in terms of style, but he's played well, played very well for them. All right, so last thing before we get out of here prior to midnight. But, hey, by the way, cool for us, we don't have – there's no school, nothing going on tomorrow. So because of some threat of weather, a little bit of snow.
Which in Georgia means, like, we might get a flurry or two, so we shut everything down. Everything down. School's down. Games are canceled. Like, it might snow, so lock yourselves in your house. Everybody made grocery store runs earlier to make sure they get plenty of water. Don't drive and just do all the things.
But speaking of Georgia, they were in the news today because their quarterback decided to, instead of, I don't know if it's not necessarily instead of the draft, I'm sure that's still an option for him, but he at least put his name in the transfer portal. And there's a lot of speculation that basically that he's going to one singular spot, maybe a second, but
why?
Miami seems
to
be
Miami. Why do you think Miami is the spot
favorite? He does have a significant other that
women
is there. That usually drives a lot of.
I tell people this all the time. I've been asked so many times, like, were you a diehard Georgia fan growing up? And I was like, no, I didn't really watch college football, but Lindsay Pollack was right down the road 45 minutes and I wasn't going far from her. So it's interesting with him because the injury he has, it's a 6 to 8 month injury. And so that puts him, right up against camp. And trying to get back. And so obviously the value of him is I don't want to say this. I'm not saying this rude, but like it's damaged goods right now. Like you don't know what you're getting. So if you're going to make a heavy investment, I think it's kind of hard to do if you're a college team. So whoever takes a chance is taking a chance. I mean, you're definitely saying like, okay, everything's going to go well because, you're usually soft tossing with this injury. Like soft toss is 12 weeks in. And then if it goes perfect, Brent, it's 6 months. Like if no setbacks and everything goes elite, 6 months, you can be back to play. But worse.
depending on the surgery
time,
too.
Most of the time it's eight months. And so,
by the way, I thought he was trying to be like me because I got that scar.
Well, I wish you. Surgery. Well, why don't you have that tat like he has? You should get that sleeve tatted up down your arm, bro. That looked good.
Yeah, no, that'll never. But I mean, never happen. Sorry. I did jokingly, by the way, I thought when this happened, I thought, oh, he's injured his elbow like I did. He's going to put his name in the portal. Maybe he just wants to go get more degrees and be a doctor.
You're not a real doctor.
But I mean, this will be his.
But you're not a real doctor.
He can get his master's.
Make sure we understand that.
I think it does speak to, and I read a piece and knowing some things, like it does speak to the just general vibe of things here in Athens, and that it's not a, maybe he's coming back. Obviously he's not coming back to Georgia. I even saw a quote from Thamel that said, hey, we just want to win or something like that. And I'm like, well, you just left the team that was, you know, two out of the last four national champions and whatnot. But there's the thing with all of this is, also true. But when you look at the NIL money versus the NFL money, if you're not a first round quarterback,
yeah,
the NIL money is better. It just is, because like I looked at, like, Spencer Rattler was a fifth round pick, 4 years, $4.3 million. Second round picks, and this is the totality of their contract, not just the,
which means it's not guaranteed
thing,
not correct
guaranteed
it
money
can be
thing.
Gone it can be gone like that,
right?
A lot of times those numbers are tied to a lot of bonuses, like, which you will never, ever see, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And being on the team, that sort of thing. So if you think, if he puts his name in the draft and maybe gets later part of the third round, early fourth, something like that, which is where I think he would have ended up. And he's like, well, I could do that versus play one more year of college and get, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever the amount of money that he gets. That seems like a very good business decision if he's running Carson Beck Inc.,
no pun intended, with a sleeve on his arm. Here's the thing, man. There's a lot of things that didn't help Carson Beck this year. It didn't help the way his team responded to Gunnar Stockton and just the energy they played with the SC championship game. Like, you could see how much they rallied around the guy. That doesn't help about what it says about you. I'm not being critical and saying he can't be a great quarterback. I'm just saying that doesn't help. You leaving the team and going elsewhere during bowl season, I can put it to you like this, Brent. Like, talking to people who make these decisions in these realms, that says a lot in a negative direction. It does not say a lot of positive things. When you look at Nolan Smith a couple years ago, hurts his arm on his sling, right? Like, out for the season. The dude's coaching his team the rest of the year, bringing energy, bringing juice, all up in the mix. And Carson wasn't. Like, it's not. I'm not saying anything negative about him that he can't be something, but I'm saying that those things, and the comment about, you know, that watching tape and like not wanting to watch games because he gets stressed out. Like, dude, I can tell you from going through this, like, you get psychoanalyzed for every single decision.
And you're speaking,
I'm speaking all from the NFL perspective, by the way, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like,
you're talking about,
you're getting psychoanalyzed for everything. But here's another thing too. Like, you're also, what's another thing that's easy, and we'll talk about more of this when we get to draft season. It's a lot easier to judge these kids now of what they're going to be. You know why? Because they're getting the money, Brent. Like, they're not struggling for that next check, right? Where I'm going, okay, when they get their money, what are they going to turn into? A lot of these guys are getting the money.
Right.
So I've seen, and we should do this in the offseason, I'm just telling you, I could name so many players that I watch on tape this year, and I see it. They got the bag, Brent, and they don't play. They play like they got the bag. Because when you're trying to get the bag, you're doing everything possible. And, like, you get there quicker with more intensity.
You play like Notre Dame guys.
Yeah, it's a great point. Like, you play hungry and you play aggressive, and you see that from year to year, and it will change with guys. So, you know, all of that will go into it, and it's part of the decision-making process, man. It's all that stuff that will go into the contracts. But I will tell you this, like, I talked to I talked to an ACC coach 2 days ago, and he said that starting February 1, all the money starts getting calculated now, Brent. So basically, what you spend, you're going to have an allotted money that you can spend on people, and you're going to have to be held accountable for what you spend. I would argue there's still going to be cheaters, because that's what people do. People cheat in sports. But there are more guardrails that are coming in place in the very new future, like in a month, that will change the dynamics of all the hopping, which people don't like. Like I'll say that's one thing about our sport that people don't like. People don't love the jumping from place to place. People don't love the, you know, you're going somewhere for money and then you go somewhere else for money and there's no loyalty and all that stuff, which, you know, we can argue what that is, because coaches jump from spot to spot too, and they get paid, and that's part of the deal. But, you know, at least those things are coming as of February that will at least make it a little bit easier and more rules and more concrete.
Well, still in the end, tonight belongs to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and their fan base, because they, in what, 11 days? Is it the 20th that the championship game is?
That's what you think.
Why do I not know that? It's on a Monday.
I don't care when it is, and neither do Notre Dame fans, because they've got a chance to win it all and go get healthy. Hopefully they can get Nat back, their left tackle, which, you know, he couldn't put weight on his left leg, which is a big deal, man. Riley Leonard finished the game, but get those bumps and injuries healed, and then tomorrow night you get to cheer on whoever you want to face. And Notre Dame fans, I'd be interested to hear what you say. I'm just telling you right now, cheer for Texas. Cheer for Texas. You don't want your style versus Ohio State, the man-to-man versus those freak shows out wide. We don't want that. So great season for Notre Dame. Unbelievable job doing it with arguably less talent, but grit, fight, heart. Marcus Freeman being proving himself as a coach. I think that's 9 straight wins versus ranked opponents. We'll see you here tomorrow night breaking down Texas, Ohio State. Should be a great game. And as depressing as it is, we're down to 8 quarters. We got 8 quarters left in college football. That's so great. Tomorrow night, whatever your wife's trying to get you to do on a Friday night, nah, babe.
But, well, and also, too, you get playoff football in the NFL starting on Saturday. So this is kind of a straight, and you get Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If you're a football, like, just crazy, but more people that listen here would probably be not as much care.
Yeah, and the NFL, when fantasy football ends, I don't lose my love for the NFL, but I lose my passion. That's for sure.
Attention span.
I'm not going to tell my wife that, because I still want to watch the games. Football is football. Football is amazing. Amazing season for Penn State too. You know, to get to this point, knocking on the door of the 14 playoff every year, to make it to the semifinals is.
Tonight was their 16th.
It's a lot of games,
by the way.
A lot of games. They answered some of the questions, man, with the big games. And Chad Moreland in our chat said, "Go Irish! This night belonged to the Irish." And congratulations on it. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.